Jason Benetti is the TV play-by-play guy for the Chicago White Sox. You hear the radio version with Ed and DJ and Andy Mazur here on WGN Radio. Jason, you're on the radio side. How are you?
John, how are you? I'm great. Thank you.
Where are you right now? You must be getting ready for a game or something like that?
I am in traffic on the way to the ballpark, as we all should be on a lovely Wednesday afternoon.
Do people, when they do a double take, like, if people see me, they don't recognize me, there's no big deal. But do they look out their window and then look back and go, wait a minute, that's Jason Benetti?
So the fun ones are when I walk by somebody with a Sox hat, every once in a while, just for fun, I'll look back over my shoulder after I pass them.
Yeah.
And I check and see if they are checking to see.
Yeah, it was me.
It's funny. It's good fun.
You know, so of course you're the White Sox play-by-play guy. Is this your first full season, or was last year your first full season in the booth?
So it depends on the definition. You know, I did 140 of the games last year or so. So I did the bulk of the schedule last year, but this is the first year that I'm in fully for Hawks.
Yeah. And prior to that, though, I was just looking on Wikipedia at your page. You went to, was it Syracuse?
Yeah, I was. I'm an 05 Syracuse graduate. And went to HF through 2001, and yeah.
And then how? Because Bertrand and I were talking about you and how much fun we've had watching and listening to you the last couple of years, and I described your appearance on the scene as a major Chicago sports announcer as having burst onto the scene, but you might disagree with that, having maybe clawed your way up from Syracuse to this spot. But just walk me through real quick. After Syracuse, how did you get to where you are? I was here, I was there. Do that one for me.
Yeah, so I can't really burst through anything with my stature. So I guess I just kind of appeared. So I went to Syracuse. I did a couple years of minor league baseball in Salem, Virginia. I actually did 1 year of women's basketball at DePaul my first year out of college. I did games on the internet for Doug Bruno's team. And then I went to North Carolina. I did basketball at a small school in High Point, North Carolina, High Point University. And then I took over as the triple announcer in Syracuse after the 2 years in Virginia. And as I was doing that, I got a couple of games with ESPN. I got a contract with them a couple of years later. And then I ended up with the Sox, thanks in part to a reunion that I was in town for HF. That weekend, the Sox were around that Monday, and they were interested in interviewing me. And then there I went.
So that's the route to where you are today. How is it that you were doing the Cardinals-Brewers game the other night?
So I'm in the off season. I do games for ESPN, and I have a certain number of games that I'm contracted for. So when I have a Sox off day, it's very feasible for ESPN to say, "Hey, since you're off, can you go blank?" And then the blank was a Brewers game, which was just up the road and easily drivable. So that was very nice.
Is that hard though? Because I caught that game and I did a double take because I thought, no wait, that's I swear to God that's Jason Benetti. Is it hard for you to switch leagues and teams because you seem to be ever so knowledgeable and you guys seem to have a great time, but that's not your regular crew? How easy or hard is it to make that transition?
Yeah, it's kind of the life for ESPN, right? No viewer necessarily cares if you know the person next to you or if you're best friends or not. And they don't care that I haven't seen the Cardinals and Brewers as a game caller for the season. So it's definitely on us to put together a cohesive show and be able to do the type of work that befits like having worked together 50 times. So it takes a little legwork, but I generally like the people I work with at ESPN a great deal. Rick Sutcliffe and Jeff Passan are awesome, and I've known them from the past. Yeah. So you dive in, you research, and off you go.
Now, the recall is, I guess, what makes the Pat Hughes and the Andy Mazers and Ed and DJs and the Jason Benettis different than the rest of us. It was so fluid. You weren't stammering to call up a stat. You knew the stories from the National League, and I just don't know how you guys do that.
Yeah, I think it's just about following along over the course of the season. Like every once in a while on a Sox telecast, we'll tell our viewers about something that's gone on in Major League Baseball, so I keep up with what going on around the league as much as feasible while still doing justice to the stocks on a day in and day out basis. So it's much more about research and time spent in baseball mode than anything.
You guys went on the West Coast a few weeks ago. You had guest announcers with you as you did the play-by-play, and it's been generally described across the country and the city as a masterstroke by the White Sox, and it was probably great for you, too. What did you make of the time you spent in the booth with Bill Walton?
He is a tempest, and no teapot can contain him. He is a wonderful soul who has great cosmic energy around him. And I love being in the same booth as him because of his zeal for life. And what he brought was a totally different, thoroughly fresh perspective to baseball that you're not going to get from anyone else. And I'm fortunate enough to work with somebody who should be in the Hall of Fame and hopefully will be sooner rather than later in Steve Stone. And so it's awesome to have him back after a weekend like that, but it's also nice to see through a different lens the game of baseball that we all kind of get used to and sometimes can even take for granted as diehards.
So what was the moment when the Walton broadcast where you went, okay, I'm going to fasten my seatbelt, this one's going to be different? I mean, you knew Bill Walton and you knew what it was going to be like, but what happened in the booth? What moment, what did he say that you go, okay, here we go?
The first foul ball of the game, he celebrated like the ball dropped in Times Square. And I knew at that point that it was going to be even more of a ride than I expected.
Yeah. Are they going to do something like that again? Do you have any feel for that?
I don't know. I mean, it all depends on which series Steve takes off in the future and all of that. But I think people were generally really happy with the way it went. And I hope that at points in the future we'll have more guests rotating, whether it just be for an inning or whatever. I just always think fresh perspective away from mine is worth it. And just to see what other people think of the team and the game is worth it.
White Sox TV play-by-play guy Jason Benetti's on a phone line. He's on his way to the ballpark. White Sox baseball on WGN Radio, of course, and we got a pretty good group of guys in that booth as well. But you and I haven't met or caught up on the radio side, so I appreciate you giving us some of your time. Give me a highlight or two. What stands out in your mind for the White Sox this season? We know the record, we know the rebuild, but what's been really fun for you?
Really fun for me is the nation getting to know Tim Anderson and Lucas Giolito, not only as possible stars in the game, but also as people. Lucas has been very honest and open about how much he cares about others and how he wants to affect others. He defended Tim to the hilt when Tim had his whole situation with the Royals in April, and very rightfully so. But I think people getting to know Tim Anderson and how much he cares about what he stands for in the community that he came from, whether it be in Tuscaloosa or for people who grew up with not much money, he understands that he can have a hugely positive impact on so many people across the country in the way he handles himself and in the way he played baseball and in the way he's true to himself. All of that, he and Giolito, I'm glad they're playing well because their hearts are in this for the, if I can say, making a value judgment for the right reasons. And I love seeing them succeed so they can give off more of that sunlight.
Speaking of good people doing good things, one of our hosts here on the weekend, John Hansen, who fills in for me now and again. He might be in this seat this time tomorrow, actually. I'm going to take the day off. John was on Friday night around 11 o'clock, and they were talking about Little League stories, baseball stories. It could have been even out of sports, maybe grade school stories. But at some point in your life, maybe on a baseball field, when you did or said something that you regret and you wish you could fix today. Now, I told you about this conversation off the air to make sure you were cool with my playing it on the air. This is one of the people that called in to WGN Radio on Friday night.
Where are you calling from, Eric?
I am originally from Flossmoor. Right now, I'm driving around Logan Square. So this is back when I was in the fourth grade. We were in a Mustang League, and we had this umpire who just really wasn't good, but he was not good in a way that he just couldn't move, and he couldn't, you know, get off the home, you know, couldn't get off home plate, huh. Missed a few calls. And, you know, when this happens, like always, you know, the parents are, giving him a tough time.
Right.
Players are giving him a tough time. And then it took us a little bit to realize, you know, maybe there's, you know, something a little bit off about this umpire. He's not as agile. Long story short, you know, we gave him a lot of crap for the game. At the end of it, my dad goes up to him and he's like, hey, good game. Sorry for all the crap. I might have said something, you know, a little bit, you know, a little rude.
Right.
Fast forward about 15 or so years, maybe more. Jason Benetti is talking about being an umpire.
Whoa.
Jason Benetti is from my hometown. My brother elbows me. A couple days later, hey, remember that story Jason Benetti was talking about? I'm pretty sure he was your umpire in that game. And 15 years later, I feel terrible about it because I think my brother's right. Jason Benetti was my umpire, and we were just so mean to him. So, Jason, if you're out there listening, I deeply apologize for all of the Mustang, Flossmoor Mustang Devil Rays.
Wow.
We did not mean it. I still feel bad to this day.
Yeah, and Jason, of course.
Even though it wasn't Jason Benetti, even though it wasn't my favorite announcer, I still feel terrible about the things we said.
Right. For those that don't know, Jason Benetti, of course, an incredible broadcaster for the White Sox. He is awesome. And he also he lives with cerebral palsy, and a more mild form of it than some other folks. Jason's an incredible person.
Part of our broadcast on Friday night. Jason, what's your reaction to that conversation? Did that happen, by the way?
So Flossmoor Mustang Baseball is definitely something I umpired. And I definitely remember doing games involving the Devil Rays. There are two things I think. I've heard it, and I'm laughing. There are two things I think of when I hear him say that. Number one, I apologize profusely for being so bad sometimes as an umpire. And I think if people didn't hear what I said on the air, like, I have very publicly admitted to being a bad umpire. Like, very not good sometimes. Like, just definitely a little over my skis at the time. If there was, like, a confrontation about a very intricate rule. Like, definitely not a great umpire sometimes. Totally get that. The second thing is, we were the only umpire for those games. So in Mustang League, we would have to follow around along the bases. And I actually, the one thing that makes me think it might not have been me, the only thing is, and maybe I just kind of mailed it in that day, which I don't know that I did, but the one thing is, I actually, because I knew I couldn't move great, right? I'm not going to be the fastest person, and it's not going to look great. I actually prided myself on getting in position as much as possible.
Ah.
Now, as much as possible isn't enough of a threshold, though, right? Like, I don't know what the other umpires were doing. I might have been busting my tail and still not getting into the spot to make the call. However, I'm pretty sure it was me. I remember a couple games where people were not very thrilled with the umpiring. And rightfully so.
Well, wait, like, a minute. How old are you when you're umpiring these games?
I was like a sophomore or junior in high school.
I think that because sometimes they're in sixth grade and sometimes they're in 12th grade. I think it's ridiculous. I don't care if you have something that limits your mobility or if you're a track star. It's a kid making $9 an hour umpiring a game. That's the only thing that matters to me in this conversation. But never mind.
I tend to agree with that now on the whole, and I also did tend to come home and be like, wow, they were kind of tough on me today. But I also, you know, I get it it's fun for the kids and they should have good experiences, and we're trying to teach them the rules. So, like, the rules have to be right or we're teaching the kids the wrong thing. But there's no need to apologize from him because, you know, I probably screwed up a bunch of calls that day. If I was bad enough that he remembered it for a decade and a half, I probably should have, like, gotten paid only half the rate.
Well, I'll call the officials and have them dock your pay. You're going to have to send them a check now. For
$8.22 and a pack of Big League Chew.
Have a great game tonight. We'll watch you on TV and continue to enjoy the success of your career and also the White Sox on radio and TV. Thanks for giving us some of your time today, Jason.
John, thank you for having me.
Jason Benetti in the booth tonight, and as always, White Sox baseball.